At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
It's not easy being Jeff Lewis.
I have a one-on-one coming up.
How's that going to be for you?
Great, I get to talk about myself for 3 hours. And I apologize. I'm not sorry at all. And she ended up getting sued.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. You got to be very careful when you do these podcasts. Everyone, you shouldn't be here.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Hey, welcome to Jeff Lewis Has Issues. In today's episode, Tyler Henry and Carney Wilson join the show. We talk about connecting with the other side, thin boundaries, and why Tyler avoids hospitals. I'm pretty sure everybody knows who you are, but you were on Hollywood Medium. It was on E. For how many seasons?
That went 4 seasons.
4 seasons. Wow. And then was there a show in between, or now Life After Death now on Netflix? Right. Was there a show in between Hollywood Medium and Life After Death?
No.
Okay.
Unless it was a ghost show, but no, you know, they all are by nature of the material, but the show on Netflix, Life After Death, we got nominated for an Emmy.
Congratulations. Great. So did you get picked up for a season 2 yet?
So initially it was a limited series, or Siri.
Okay.
But Siri. You know, after the nomination, we actually got some interest for potentially more.
For a season 2. So you're interested in doing another season?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. I'll work as long as anyone calls me.
How many episodes was Life After Death, season 1?
9 episodes.
Okay. So that's good. Wow. That's a good amount of episodes. Yes. And then you are still doing your Evening of Hope and Healing. So that's your live event.
That's right.
And then those are big venues, correct?
They are. Anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people. And I never know what's going to happen. It's completely live, unedited, and there's a lot of pressure.
When you do those, do you hear like multiple spirits, or do you have to like try to hone in on just like one?
It truly is like Otome Brown in that one movie where it's just getting inundated. But have to kind of go with the strongest line of connection and generally the strongest communicator. So
do you actually say to them one at a time when you're reading spirits, if they come to you at once, do you have to like wrangle them?
I have certain ways of kind of separating the energy and being able to discern between what's coming through and for who, but one of the weird things is it doesn't matter whether you're in the front row or the back row. Yeah. I oftentimes just get pulled in the furthest seats where I can't even see people sometimes.
Is it anytime outside the theater?
You know, I try to kind
like
of keep
the valet.
Keep it on lock. You know,
valet.
Yes, exactly. Be like, here's mm-hmm. my keys. I know what you're doing with them.
But is it a situation where you're kind of walking through the Sirius XM halls and you hear other, and you're like kind of turn around because you hear things, or?
There's certain modalities I have, like scribbling, as Carney knows.
Right.
When she went on the show Hollywood Medium, it kind of helps me connect. It's a way of kind of turning on and turning off. But like the Long Island Medium, you know, she goes around and she's inundated with messages constantly, and that would be annoying.
I'm curious about this. When you do the scribbling, it reminded me of like a Richter scale.
Yeah.
It was like the up, and is that just, when did you start doing that? Because that's really interesting.
Well, that started when I was talking on the phone with a girlfriend, not a romantic girlfriend, but in school.
No, we know.
Right? We were talking.
Yeah. You know,
it's a phase, Mom.
Hey, girlfriend.
And I was doodling on the phone, as one does, and information just kind of started coming through about what she was kind of going through versus what she was talking about. Hmm. And so I started implementing it. But my thinking is like in all religious practices, not to go too super deep on Jeff Lewis, but there's something about repetition, right? Like whether it's rosary beads or the aspect of like doing things, you know, drum circles, chanting, it's just a different way of doing something over and over again to try to kind of get into a different state of consciousness.
Has it ever like formed into like a person or a picture of something, or has it always just been like that, like up and down scribbling thing? I'm just curious. Like,
sometimes. Oh, there's times where names have been written before.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Absolutely. Oh, that is the weirdest thing. Things will just kind of get written. We'll look back afterwards and present it.
It's almost like you like couldn't control it. It just came out through your hand.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand how you communicate. Do you see pictures? Do you dreams?
Do you
or is
hear?
It literally just hearing voices?
Well, it's multifaceted. It's really not so much hearing voices as much as just kind of getting into an active daydream. I just kind of have learned how to go about my day and just kind of connect in a more subtle way. And with that comes impressions. Sometimes it's memories that feel like they're someone else's, but they also feel like mine. And that can be kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where sensations will come through. And I just have learned how to kind of quickly identify it, verbalize it, and then get a sense of whether it's accurate or not.
Do you like quiet your mind and sort of like compartmentalize? Like, because it sounds like it's like that's what it is.
Sure.
It's like getting into a space.
Well, and it's something we all have access to, right? With you, if you look at intuition, the word, it literally is defined as inner tuition or inner knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think we just get so inundated with distractions. It's very hard to really get a true sense of how we feel when we're constantly looking to outside sources.
Yeah. I'm very into this, and I always have been. And I feel like our inner voices are very powerful, but people are afraid of them. They're afraid of it and their own abilities. When they feel something, or they get a feeling about someone, or they go somewhere and it makes them feel a certain way, they wonder why.
Sure.
Or, you know, somebody's passed on and they feel like they feel them around them. Mm-hmm. But rather, I feel like it's important to tap into that. So like, for me personally, it was great to meet you years ago. I don't even know how long that was. It was before COVID.
It was.
Were you on Hollywood Medium?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. It was beautiful, you know. And there was some good clarity with somebody that passed away. It was an ex-fiance of mine who passed away tragically. And
when you say tragically, what happened?
He basically drank himself to death. He had pancreatitis, but they think his heart just gave out. And he was, you know, young. He was young. He was 48 years old.
Do you are you able to pick up people that like recently passed, or do they go somewhere for a while?
You know, I used to say, oh, it takes them some time to come through. But I was doing a live show once, and I said, oh, you know, is your grandpa okay? You know, I feel like I need to talk about him. They were like, yeah, he's fine. I was like, just double check. He ended up actually having passed during the live show.
Oh, my gosh, that's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah. She ended up contacting us after and said, yeah, Grandpa, like, died. And we got the news after.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think it was the closest that I can think of someone passing and coming through almost immediately.
So you're talking about her grandfather?
Yeah.
And she didn't read the room, obviously. She didn't go call Grandpa.
She did. Well, yeah, someone called her after and was hey. So it happens.
You know, I remember my best friend, Tiffany, her grandmother was dying. It was like she was in the process of dying, and she was sick and everything. And she was just holding on. You know, she would not pass, and she was suffering. And everybody was just around the bed. And she said, please fly up here. She was in Oregon. She said, I need you to come be with me. I need your comfort as my best friend and everything. And when I got there, we had the same birthday, Barbara, April 29th. And I remember going in the room, and I was scared because this was going to be the first time that I would see a person pass away. We were going to be by her side. We knew she did not have long. So there was a part of me that was scared, you know, but also curious. And I remember walking in, and this was really, really interesting. She was lying in the bed. And when I walked in and saw her in the bed, she wasn't all in the bed. She was above her, like above herself. Like I could feel her lifting up and halfway in her body and halfway up going that way. And it was like, whoa, she's not all in her shell, but she's above it, but she's still there. And so it was like, I could feel like she was like letting go and moving on. And so I had everybody leave the room, and I just said, Barbara, you know, I love your best friend. She's my bestie in the world, and I'm going to take care of her. And you can go now. You can go now. And within 30 minutes, she passed away. And it was just, but one of the funniest stories ever. When we were standing around, there were the nurses, the family, and they go, why don't you sing Hold On to Her? And I'm like, why? It meant more like release me, not hold on. And it was like a moment where we could all like laugh, you know, and it was just like a loving moment. But it was, but that was fascinating.
Yes. And it really speaks to the fact that often people pass or are passing before they actually have their heart stop. There's so much literature and research done on near-death experiences, people near the end. Just read a case yesterday of someone who passed, a woman whose daughter died, and after there was all these like glowing sparkles that doctors registered in the room, she noticed, and everything had a bit of a glow about it. So it's so clear when you see someone who's passed, it's just a shell, it's just a vessel, and that part that makes us is gone. You know, it
goes. Hey, Tyler, are there a lot of like ghosts in cemeteries? Are they even there, or do they leave?
It's like more hospitals. People think that graveyards would be inundated with stuff, but that's really more a place that the living go to process their grief.
And I would want to hang out there if I was a ghost.
Right.
No,
right.
But hospitals. People often live, you know, sometimes even for months before they pass, and that creates a familiarity. And I'm not a big fan of hospitals. So when I get a colonoscopy, we got to do it at home.
So
are you serious?
Yeah, at home. Come on.
So,
Hardy, what are you doing next Wednesday?
So you don't like to go to hospitals. It's very loud, I imagine, for you.
Yeah, generally.
But cemeteries are fine. Yeah. Because I was questioning like people that go to the gravesite and visit their past loved ones.
Sure.
But I always in my mind thought they weren't there.
Yeah.
So like I've never been back to the cemetery after my relatives have passed. Yeah.
And that's okay.
You know, I don't think they're there.
Yeah.
No.
They're in a bar somewhere.
I love that.
They're in a bar. I personally think if we go there, they might kind of fly around. I mean, I've gone to visit my
grandma. Well, then
they
would be following you. So that could be anywhere.
Yeah,
that
right.
could be at Chili's.
True. That's true.
I hope so.
Later.
Well, I was just at Cedars last week, and when I was going in towards the parking lot, sometimes when I can feel spirits, because I do too, I'll get like this woo.
So you're a medium also, Carney?
I am not a medium, but I don't talk about it a lot, and there's a reason why you have me on today. I think you know that
you're open-minded.
I'm very comfortable with this, and I find it loving and fascinating and warm and wonderful. And anybody that has this gift, I think, is just a blessing to the world. And there are a lot of people that are just in fear and don't believe it, but I certainly do.
It's got to be depressing, doesn't it, sometimes? Like, a lot of crying.
You know, it's a lot of crying.
Are you just like, in your mind, you're like, shut the fuck up. I've heard so much crying today.
Here we go again. No, I'm just kidding. It's a release. Tears are a release. And I've learned that in this work, whether it's someone expressing an unexpected emotion or bursting into tears. I mean, we saw it with celebrities. They'd come in with a tough exterior that abided by their public image. And then before you know it, you know, you have Bobby Brown sobbing and having this emotional healing experience. Or Amber Rose, who gets her head tattooed. People who have a tough exterior.
You break them down.
You know, you can see that. And that's so important because we're all human. We all go through grief.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, it seemed to me when we were talking at the coffee shop earlier that you much prefer Life After Death, that show, doing that show, over Hollywood Medium. It seems like, because it's not, Life After Death is, you're not seeing celebrities. It's just regular people,
exactly.
Right? So you tend to enjoy that and get more out of that than Hollywood Medium.
It really, for me, is an extension of my live show. As I travel the country, as I read people in groups, my goal is just to try to share as many readings as possible with people who genuinely need it. You know, on Hollywood Medium, have people come on, and you could tell immediately when they were just there because their publicist thought it was a good gig to book.
Yeah.
And then you'd have people who had a genuine need, and it couldn't have been more clear once the reading got going. You know, who fell into what category? Mm-hmm. Heidi Montag.
Oh, really? Yeah, Heidi
Montag. Did you hear? That was a disembodied voice.
That was
a spirit.
That just came right through.
So she didn't really believe. She didn't really participate. It was more about a gig, a paid gig.
I don't blame people who see the value of television in a platform, but some people totally are more into it than others. I think Spencer was a lot more into it.
Yeah.
But she was still very gracious to even show up, so.
But then you have a situation where, you know, you've got maybe some of these spoiled celebrities are doing it for the wrong reason.
Yes.
And then you have people that really, really need your help.
Exactly.
And so you're finding it a lot more rewarding with Life After Death. And I hear you're going to be on season 2, Carney.
I am.
As a medium.
I'm ready.
We're going to hit the town.
I'm going to do it. We'll become a little duo.
Yeah, we'll be the psychic to the sidekick to the psychic.
Ooh, that's
like
a show.
I like that. Sidekick.
Come on, Bravo. Bravo.
Psychic. No, you never know. I just love that this is, do you feel like this is just an absolute calling for you? Like, this is what you were meant to do?
Yeah, you know, I think our interests are indications of our calling. Just generally, that's something that's been true in my life. And to be able to pursue it at such a young age was such a privilege and such a gift.
So you should have been a sex worker then.
You know?
Shane.
I have to pursue my passion.
Shane, you must.
35 is going to be around the corner. We can turn over a new page and, you know, hit OnlyFans.
Did you get so good so young? Like, how did you train? Or, like, how did you hone in on your craft?
A lot of messing up. You know, a lot of trial and error. A lot of risk. To be a medium, you have to be comfortable with the idea that people are not going to believe in you. And you're going to be wrong sometimes.
Right.
And being okay with those two things takes a lot of work.
When did you first get, like, your first intuition with things and hear a spirit? Or
at 10 years old, I had the first premonition of my grandmother's death. But I didn't recognize that as an ability or definitely not a gift. It was just something
that
happened.
What did you see? What did you see?
I basically woke up and had this knowingness that my grandmother was going to die. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a memory that hadn't happened yet.
Whoa.
And at 10 years old, you can imagine how confusing that was, because it's confusing to even think about, like, a memory that hasn't happened yet. But as I was explaining it to my mom, the phone rang and my dad delivered the news in that moment that he'd just watched my grandmother die.
But I've known you for years. You've always been incredibly mature for such a young man.
I'll say.
You should see me on the weekends. I let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to High Top?
High Tops, that's right. Chili's after, too. Give you the real experience.
Do you drink? And the reason I ask is because I have a regular psychic that I see.
Yeah.
Scary Sherry. And she does not drink at all.
Yes.
Because she finds that it interrupts her gift. So right. She does not take any substances of any kind.
Yeah.
So you do drink?
No, I definitely don't. Did you see the dinner party from hell from Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm afraid
Alison
of.
Dubois, the fake cigarette.
Yes.
Right.
The cigarette. Oh, yes. You're afraid you're going to start
He will never emotionally fulfill you. That was so iconic because, well, she was right. But.
But that's reckless.
That is reckless. And that's the thing. There's a time and a place. I view it as something that warrants integrity, and there's a way to go about it. And alcohol makes most things harder to do, you know, esteemably.
But you have a lot of respect for, I think, the people that you read.
Absolutely.
And I think you're very careful about. And when people cry,
yeah.
You don't hug them, do you? Or do you just put, like, your hand on their shoulder? Like, what do you do?
You know,
that's got to be so uncomfortable.
I used to want to just, like, stop and hug them, but then I would also clutch my pearls. And Michael Corbett, my manager, would be, Tyler, you have to stop clutching your goddamn pearls. Because every time, I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
So, you know, there's certain things. Like, just keep your hands by your side. And
well, also, do you find that you pick up people's negative energy when you touch them?
Sometimes, yeah. I go full Howie Mandel. I'm like, let's fist bump.
Yeah. Do you really?
There's times. If I ever fist bump you, it's a bad sign. If I'm like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, and I just put the little punch out.
I feel bad because I'm very touchy-feely, and I was like all over your shoulders
and
everything.
It.
You
okay.
Basically Wilson, felt him up.
I did.
He's cute, though.
I was just going to say, I want you inside me, but that was...
Oh, God.
In my back pocket is what I meant.
The fact that Tyler Huntington said, I want you inside me...
That really, truly...
That means you actually really love me.
I do. It's a love. It's a mutual we're eating...
He fist bumped me.
Sorry, Jeff.
From a distance.
I got a wave.
Are you going to start hearing spirits? Hey, shout out. Right. No, but I'm wondering something. Is it always noisy in there, in your head? Or how do you quiet your mind?
I'm trying to figure that out, too, how you turn it on and off.
It's just a lot of elevator music.
What do you mean?
It's just... It
sounds like a circus.
Someone's on the line.
Oh.
Leave a message at the beep. Beep.
Do you hear it? So, like, since you've been here,
yeah,
have you heard anything from any? I mean, have you heard outside voices? It could be anybody. The cute security guard. Oh. It could be a lot of people.
There's a cute security guard.
John Hill walked by.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to hear his voice.
Oh. Well, I'll keep you posted. It doesn't matter. I'm only hearing it.
So from the coffee shop to here.
Yes.
Do you just know how, like, I'm not taking calls right now.
I mean, I get, like, inundated with, like, impressions. So, like, I'll get, like, on the way here, an impression about a conversation around someone getting something stolen,
uh-huh.
Right? And like that'll be a meaningless impression that will come through, but when applied in a certain context, when you sit down with someone and scribble and kind of get a roll of information, multiple pieces, then you can kind of contextualize that feeling. So when I enter into a space, it's just like a lot of random, meaningless kind of nonsense that I have to make sense of.
You seem to be, because you brought this up, Carney, because you had a reading with Tyler. When I had a reading with Tyler, you seem to be very in tune with people's health.
Yes.
And future issues. Mm-hmm. So after I did the reading, I was like, he's great, but it was a lot of past and present. There was not a lot of future. But there is one thing that you said to me that I was like kind of brushed off, and you had actually said that I was going to have some major back issues. And that was, I mean, that must have been 5 years before I had any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you had predicted that. I mean, at the time I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But like 5 years later then, you know, and two spinal surgeries later, you predicted that. And then you also, I believe when you did Carney's reading,
mm-hmm.
you picked up, was it your
stepfather?
Your stepfather, his medical issues.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I think energy is energy, but there's something to be said about the physicality of our bodies, of our presence. And you can kind of get a sense when you sit with somebody as a medical intuitive, kind of predispositions, things that they have to keep in mind, things that I think we're kind of born with a higher likelihood of developing on our path. And so I'm big on preventative information. I think knowledge is power. I remember I sat with Alan Thicke and, you know, communicated to him a very insistent message around this heart problem from a family member that he, you know, I don't really think believed was coming through. And as I said this, you know, we spent 2 minutes talking about you need to get your heart checked. Even if you don't believe in this, you need to get your heart checked. And he died 3 months later of a heart condition he did not know he had.
Right.
And so, you know, as a medium, it's frustrating because regardless of whether you believe it or not, at least consider it. At least go to a doctor. Get checkups if you have health insurance.
Right. I mean, why not?
Why not?
What is the harm?
Just out of curiosity, I mean, you probably won't remember this because it was so many years ago.
Yeah.
But when you do pick up someone, like, say, that is going to have future back issues, do you physically manifest that discomfort in your back? Like, how did you know that?
So it's multifaceted. I'll get a very strong impression, generally visually as a clairvoyant, but then sometimes I'll also get physical sensations that correspond with feelings. So there's times where I'll kind of get a sense of a visual of upper back or lower back, and then I'll get a sensation that corresponds with the type. Is it a burning pain? Is it a nerve pain? Is it a dull pain? And then I kind of have to try to intuit from all of those impressions what it might be.
Do you ever do unsolved, like work with private investigators or the police department for unsolved crimes?
So that was one of the big parts of the Netflix show. And what was so cool is we got to work
the one with Carney.
That's season two, baby. No, we worked with a private investigator in Atlanta to try to work on two cases. And one, actually, the one I was assigned to, the person was still alive, but they didn't know that. It was kind of a situation of they might be living, might be passed. So I was able to get some insight into what happened. And that was conclusive. But we're definitely doing it ongoingly. You know, hopefully season three or
you know
two.
What? So I was getting some like hate DMs from certain like accounts, and I hired a security consultant to help me locate these people.
Dang.
Do you think I just need maybe I just need a team of mediums?
You just need a taser. Just get a taser.
Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, plus the stuff you don't, like gas. Save on gas while you drive the kids to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever else you want to go. Plus, take some guilt-free time on the couch because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery. It's perfect for ordering new remote batteries, plus more coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you, plus snacks for your movie night. Plus, save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more. Because savings is what the whole Walmart Plus membership is all about. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential plan only, separate registration required.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do you ever consult with other psychics or mediums?
No, not as much. You would think we all kind of work the same, but if anything, I think everyone... has such a different process. And to be a medium, you have to have confidence. You have to be kind of a personality that's willing to just say it. Mm-hmm. And that makes for some very interesting personalities. So a lot of the really established mediums are very anti-structural people. Think like Alison Dubois, you know, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to smoke my e-cigarette and give you a reading.
Yeah.
They're intense people. And so it makes a sense of community kind of difficult.
Yeah.
If I'm being real.
So you've never done a reading with a psychic?
Oh, I have. I've seen several. It's just everyone kind of gets their information differently. And there's various degrees of credibility. You know, we talk about psychics. It's an unregulated field. Anybody can say, I'm psychic.
Right.
And it's like there needs to be a better business bureau for mediums.
No, there's a lot of scammers out there. And you've met Patrick and Paul. They're on the show often. But
got a psychic. I'm sorry. He's got some ability.
He does.
He really does.
He does Armenian coffee grind readings. And he's actually amazingly accurate.
I believe. Yes.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's within the chaos finding order. And that's the nature of all divination.
What an interesting way of putting that.
Yeah.
No, you don't. So you can't read yourself.
I can get some impressions, but with biases, it makes it very hard to connect in the kind of subtle way that's necessary. I have my own hopes, fears. I have a horse in the race. And so it's very difficult for me to kind of put that to the side and get impressions about myself.
Okay. I'm sorry, Carney. I just wanted to ask, can you ask questions to the spirits?
There have been times, but for me, it's really more of a receiving process.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
What was your question, Carney?
No, I was just going to ask, like, is there a certain, like, people think, like, oh, the middle of the night is when the spirits are most active, or when things are quiet, then they have the permission or the ability to get through more. Do you wake up at night? Does spirit wake you up? Are there times of the day where you feel stronger connection?
You know, I would say as long as I work during the day, I find that I can sleep pretty well at night. If I don't work after a period of time, it kind of starts getting backed up, and it starts coming through in the evenings. But what's so interesting is that historically around 3 a.m., people have very often woken up with epiphanies, realizations, mm-hmm. the feeling of a presence. It's a whole phenomenon in anthropology. And there's something about it, something that seems to indicate that when we are in a state where we are relaxed, when the beeps and the buzzes of our phones are put to the side,
mm-hmm.
we can kind of tune into a way of thinking that we wouldn't normally have when we're stuck in traffic or having to think about work.
I absolutely agree with that. For a while, I was keeping like a pad and a pen next to my my bedstand, like next to my bed. And if I would wake up at 3 a.m. or whatever, I would write things down.
Wow.
But to be honest with you, if I drank that night, mm-hmm. I don't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And now I take Venus CBD every single night.
Oh, wow.
And I have not remembered a dream since.
Yes.
Because I am comatose.
Yeah.
But I would rather, I know, like, on one hand, like, I want to be able to hear messages and be receptive to that, but I also want to sleep through the night.
Yeah. The choice is yours.
So the spirits know that I'm out. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to hear anything.
And that's okay. You know, your evenings deserve to be for you.
You mentioned Oda Mae Brown from Ghost.
Oh, yes.
And in the movie, we see the spirits leave her and she just kind of like drops.
Yes.
Do you feel, I have a two-part question. Do you feel exhausted afterwards? And also when you're reading, is it out of body or are you conscious kind of?
Yeah, so I'm definitely conscious. I don't like enter into a trance state where, you know, I lose my sense of self. I definitely get to an altered state of consciousness, but I'm still very much there. And then when I'm done, it's both draining and invigorating. I think it would be kind of like when you give a good interview and you're like, oh, you know, I'm anxious or excited. And then you hit it out of the park. And then that sense of relief that comes from that is just as gratifying as it is anxiety ridden.
So Tyler, when you do these live shows and you have, okay, so you have a few coming up. So it's an evening of hope and healing. You're going to be on April 12th. You'll be here in Los Angeles.
That's right.
Where in Los Angeles?
This will be at the Peacock Theater.
Where is that?
That's in downtown LA of all places.
Could we go to that?
I'm trying to see if
you want to go to downtown LA. All right, let's.
You're
like more than welcome.
I have a $10,000 dinner.
I checked already. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I'm free.
Next time.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I'm doing a TV show.
Maybe
in
you
the
can
morning.
Open for him and do some readings.
I would love to attend one of these.
Oh, I think you should go on the 12th.
I think it would be fascinating.
On the 13th, he's going to be at Cabazon, which you could go to the outlets too while you're there.
Oh, hit up the slots.
That's in Palm Springs, right?
Yes. I'm going to that one.
On 4, is it 4? I can't even read my own writing. 4, is it 425 in Vegas?
That's right.
Okay, 427 in Scottsdale. And then the May through November dates are coming out soon. You just go to TylerHenryMedium.com.
That's right.
So What do you do? That? Is it 2 hours? What am I getting for my money?
You know what? Generally, 90 minutes. I like to give people more. We try to go to like at least 105. But it's a two-part show. I explain to the people, you know, who got tickets thinking they were seeing Tyler Perry. I tell them who I am first. That's always a good introduction.
And what they're in for.
Exactly. Right. And then we go into the readings, and it's about 50-50. And I try to basically just knock out as many as I can. We get on a roll. Anyone can receive a reading. It doesn't matter where you're seated, and it's really intense.
So do you, like, go in and, like, sit down, and then you just start and start hearing people come through? Or do people, like, raise their hand or just say, I want to know about?
Very often I'll just point to someone in the audience and just say, hey, you come up to the microphone. I have something for you.
Oh,
other times I'll let the person.
You know who it is?
Sometimes I'll just get pulled, literally like a rubber band is the way I would describe it, like getting pulled. I'll get kind of shot consciously towards a person, and then they're like, oh, God, what's going to happen? They come up.
That happens to me. I get very pulled into people at high tops mostly.
Yeah.
I'm like a rubber band.
It's intuition.
It is intuition.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. And a few drinks.
It's horniness, not intuition.
Well, your interests are indications of your calling, so.
So do people con- Oh, yeah. That's. Oh, it is. It could be my calling.
Yep. I'm going to get you a back pillow.
Now, so do people just constantly come up to you and ask questions?
Sometimes
it must be so annoying. Do you have a bodyguard at this point?
No. With these muscles,
You've been working out.
Please, I can defend myself.
No, do people actually do they bother you or?
I view it as honestly an honor, and I'm not being cliche. Like genuinely, when people see me and they cry, I realize that what I do represents
more
something
crying.
A lot more.
That would annoy you to pieces, Jeff.
Well, Jeff sees people they cry
Jeff
too.
Jeff gets annoyed
for different reasons.
Give them a Kleenex, so you just be whipping them out. But it's very touching and humbling. Genuinely.
I love meeting Jeff Lewis live listeners, but I couldn't imagine, like, it just feels a little, like, with your followers, it just seems a little depressing because they probably come up and, like, dump their shit on you.
It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's a release, lot. Just like the tears. Do people ever cry when they meet you?
No.
Like, out of fear? Out of just, like, pure...
Rarely.
No.
No, I just think that that's who you are. And that's why I believe that you have a purpose. You don't let you don't let all this shit on the sides get to you for 1 minute. It doesn't derail you at all. And I love that.
Well, thank you. It's a work in progress. I'm still like
he lives in a very isolated place, which I think tells me, like, when you're not working, you want to get the fuck out.
Yes. 100-year-old house in Topanga. So you can imagine it.
Do you have spirits in your house?
I had some deferred maintenance.
What about your house?
You know, not as much. Not as much as you think. The one house I had that was kind of like relatively haunted from even a previous owner had some experiences. It was built like a couple decades ago.
Yeah.
Some spaces haunted? When do the spirits not like follow people, or why would they get stuck in one physical place?
It's a question I've asked myself as well, because I don't really exist in the kind of ghost realm where I see dead people walking around. But in the times where there is activity, and other people have noticed the activity, does indicate that there's some aspects of the transition process where people, some do it instantaneously, others it seems to be more of a process, even one outside of time. Mm. And that can get people into interesting positions.
But do you ever walk into people's homes or places and you just don't get a really very good feeling?
Yes.
Like it's some sort of malevolent spirit?
I do, big time.
Absolutely, I believe it. Well,
are you gonna discuss that in season two of
probably?
Of
no,
Life
I,
After
I actually
Death?
when the Manson house was up for sale, I went there with my cousin purposely to see if I could feel energy. And when we walked into the house,
you mean the Sharon Tate's?
Yes,
Roman Polanski
on Cielo. Cielo, it was really bad energy, very very scary. Like chills going from my.
They tore that house down completely.
Yeah, that was not. That was a scary feeling in there.
They're trying to sell the property that they put that on, and it just will not sell because there's such a superstition around it.
There's energy in there though.
Yeah. But you can't, even if you put a new structure there, you can't really get rid of that, right?
Well, and I think in the mind of the public, when an event happens and it symbolizes such tragedy, I think it's very hard, whether you're superstitious or not, for people to psychologically put that to the side and live somewhere.
Okay, go ahead.
I will say, like, in the past when I've done construction on homes, after I was done, I had one house in particular. I took the roof off, and I took every single bit of landscaping out, not because I was trying to get rid of spirits.
Killed the trees.
But I left some trees. But when I moved back to the house, it felt very different.
Yeah. Mm.
So I had moved in. When I bought it, I moved in, and there was definitely something there.
Yes.
But then when I moved out, remodeled it, moved back in, it was clean, clear. So I don't. I do think there's situations where you can
cleanse to some degree.
Yes.
You know, they say that Beverly Boulevard, right by Sunset Boulevard, like in that 900 block, that there's a series of homes that are haunted. And one of my producers, Glenn Ballard, had a house there, and he had many experiences there. He would hear Roaring Twenties music in the middle of the night. He and his wife at the time, they would hear the music playing. They both saw the ghost of a girl in a white nightgown. And one day, his wine bottle in the middle of the table just started smacking itself right, left, right, left, right, left on the table. And so like that, they said, we know there's activity in our house.
Yeah.
But they say that whole area, and like Outpost Drive in Hollywood,
yeah. mm-hmm.
like by the Hollywood sign, they say a lot of those homes yeah. have, there's a lot of activity there.
Well, I want a ghost to show up that's not in like a white gown, but like booty shorts.
Right.
Or like ghost. A crop top, like a full Shawn Mendes.
Oh my God. Well, you know, I have on video this tape of Lola, my daughters, Lola and Lucy. Because, you know, my family's so musical, everybody. And I have this video of them singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And we got this on tape, my nanny at the time, were these little, they call them orbs or something, mm-hmm. the little, like the circles, they're like little bubbles. Whenever they would start singing, they would fly around like they were following each other, like little, they were going all around them. They would stop singing, they weren't there. And then they'd sing, and there they were again. Wow. It wasn't the dust in the air or reflection of light. I think these were orbs or,
yes. Have you ever seen any ghosts, Tyler?
I've definitely seen manifestations, like things I can't explain. My mom has seen things we can't
Oh,
explain.
So you've seen things.
Several times, but it doesn't really work primarily that way. So most of my stuff is mental. 99% of it is an internal process. But then you have that 1% where you'll see things sometimes.
I've seen myself. Yeah.
Since you can't ask questions.
Yes.
You just have to sit there and they just talk and talk and talk.
I try.
And they're giving you information, but you can't really gear that conversation.
I can't dial direct is kind of the analogy. I give. You know, people will come wanting to hear from their mom, and then I might get a message about their mother-in-law. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry. I know it's your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, hey, don't shoot the messenger. But yeah, I mean, I can certainly try. I'll express intention if I know there's a question that someone might have. But yeah, it's really more dependent on them.
I believe, and I don't know what you believe, yeah. but I do believe that certain people are more intuitive than others. I think Carney's very intuitive, I think, but she's also very open.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There are people that just refuse,
yes.
like refuse to accept any sort of explanation, mm-hmm. you know, that's not reasonable, rational kind
right.
of thinking.
Sure.
For people that are open-minded and want to kind of strengthen their intuitive ability, what do you suggest we do?
Sure.
I mean, I have to stop taking that Venus CBD, but then I'm not going to sleep. But
you
then,
know what?
But when I didn't sleep is when I got messages.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a matter of if the messages are worth your sleep or not. You know, there might be a middle ground there that can exist.
And by the way, you can use code Jeff.
Code Jeff for
right.
melatonin.
Discount.
Yeah. Yes.
Or if you're searching, if you're internally searching for something or an answer, or
sure.
you have a question, or you want to know something, you know.
Exactly.
What can we do?
I would say this. Think of it this way. There's two types of people. You have thin-boundaried people and thick-boundaried people. Mm. And thin-boundaried people are usually your creatives, your empaths, your people mm-hmm. who are more emotional and fluid, mm. and usually people who are able to kind of exist in the creative realms. And then you have really thick-boundaried people, people who don't let things out, but they also don't let things in. And that's a personality a lot of us, I'm sure, have dealt with, people who really are putting up walls. They're generally people who are very binary, very black and white,
mm-hmm.
and there very rarely is any room for ambiguity for thick-boundaried people. So identifying what you are is a good step, but trying to understand that anti-structure is a big part of connecting with intuition, opening yourself up, being willing to kind of exist in an ambiguity and not immediately run off the second, you know, you don't know what you believe.
You know, Tyler, how we have those friends that we like talk to, give them advice, and they never take our advice. And then we realize, like,
yes.
what a fucking waste of time that was.
Absolutely.
You never take my advice.
Right. Right.
Krista. And so I'm just curious.
Right.
I'm curious, like, with thick boundaried people.
Yes.
Do spirits even waste their time?
You know, I genuinely feel that they can realize when it's going to be worth their time or not, so to speak,
yeah.
to try wow. to come through. And uh-huh. there are some people who I really think you could sit across and you could manifest a spirit in front of them. And they'd say, this is just a shared hallucination. This is just hysteria. You know, it has a scientific explanation. But what we're doing and what this claim is not a scientific one. And I think that's a thing people get a misunderstanding around. You know, it's more of a creative process. It's more subjective. It exists more in the realm of art than it does of science.
There's no way to explain,
yeah.
really, I don't think.
Right.
But I just can't. Okay, so I guess with Hollywood Medium, it was a very good show. I loved it. But those celebrities really turned you off. I can tell. They're entitled. They're difficult. They're late. I mean, not all of them. Some of them are great. Some are really great, professional, lovely people. But then you get a few bad ones.
Got a bad apple, spoils the
bunch.
And then you
actually just want to do a whole different show with
yes.
no
celebrities. Do you make shit up?
Just like, want to do drunk make... medium of just like, grandma's not bad.
Your career's going nowhere.
You'll vape, drink.
Right.
Yeah. But I feel like, I wonder after 4 seasons of Hollywood Houselift, I'm going to be like, I want to just, no more celebrities.
Yeah. No more. Because
I've had a few already.
Yeah.
Right. You're funny.
Would you ever film something and then they would want it like taken out? And you're like, that was the show.
It's the bane of my existence was the fact that private information would come through. And then the celebrity after would say, no, 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 we're not airing that.
But what
we can air is what's public information. So, if something comes through that I talked about in an interview 10 years ago, well, let's include that because that's already out there and make Tyler look bad. Meanwhile, let's cut out all the things that there's no way he could have known. For the sake of my privacy.
That's
so that
annoying.
Was a big aspect of celebrities that drove me nuts. They would mm-hmm. often include the information that was public and cut out the stuff that was too juicy.
With life after death,
yes,
you seem to be much more fulfilled with that show.
Absolutely.
Because you're doing good. You're helping people that otherwise wouldn't have the resources.
Exactly.
To have, you know, to have an expert like you.
Yeah.
Or someone as talented. I mean, you do have a 600,000 person, more than that now, waiting list, which tells me you're not working enough.
I need to get on it. I need a third manager, Jeff. What are you doing later?
No, I think Corbett is great.
Amazing.
I love that Michael Corbett. That's your manager.
I think because of the energy that you give off, that there's a respect for you and there's no ego here. That's my favorite thing about you.
You're so
humble. And that is a great thing to witness. There's no cockiness or no, and I'm not saying that other
it could be
psychic
an act.
Mediums.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
You could get in the car and be like, "Mom,
ain't no act."
In the car, I'm flipping.
Carney
people
thinks
off.
She's a fucking medium.
Oh my goodness!
I know that's gonna happen. I'm not claiming anything.
Chain smoke.
I'm not claiming shit. I'm just saying I'm sensitive to it. I'm sensitive to it too, but I just think it's your.
I bet he cusses. I bet he. Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna talk some shit about us in the car.
It's over for you all.
No.
Get your life insurance tomorrow.
You love listening to Jeff. I mean, if you're, that's, you're fun and
that
I
says
know.
You're a little dark.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. We have a warped sense of humor.
There's a dark side
you
to Tyler
have,
Henry.
You have to have
a dark
warp.
Sense of humor if you're a medium.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of this, listen to Jeff Lewis Live and Jeff Lewis Extended every weekday on Sirius XM, as well as the Jeff Lewis channel, exclusively on the Sirius XM app.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta, because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.